Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 9 minutes after 1 p.m. Tuesday, May 10th, 2011. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan, and Senator McGuire, and myself, Stedman. We have a full quorum today. We have two areas of labor today. We're going to start with the CS for House Bill 106, the Coastal Management Program. We'll be hearing and holding that CS. Then we're going to bring up Senate Bill 46, the capital budget. That appears that the timing of that will probably be 3 p.m. now, from what I'm told. So what we'll do is we'll take care of the Coastal Management Bill, House Bill 106, and then we're going to recess to the call of the chair. But, you know, I think 3 o'clock's and maybe a little bit after that. But I think that's probably a good target, but we'll keep everybody posted on that. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and start with House Bill 106 by the governor regarding the Coastal Management Program. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it for the first time the 17th of April. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute and set the bill aside for further review. Senator Hoffman, we have a motion to adopt the committee substitute version H.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee to adopt Senate CS for House Bill 106 Finance / H as a working document.
And I'll object for explanation, and I'd like to go ahead and invite Mr. Dave Gray up to the table, please. Well, Mr. Gray is coming before the committee with a fresh haircut, trimmed eyebrows, so he's ready to go. The chairman may be next, though. He looks like he needs one, too.
Yes.
Mr. Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dave Gray. I'm a legislative aide to Senator Hoffman. Mr. Chairman, the version H that's before you maintains the House structure, which has a new board of coastal policy, which has 4 commissioners, 4 representatives from the coastal districts spread over 4 regions of Alaska so that everybody's covered, and also a representative from industry that operates in the coastal zone. This board acts as kind of a review and oversight of the activities of the Department of Natural Resources, which really retains all the responsibilities of the program management. Let me just go to the changes that the Senate has from the House version. The first change is on page 3, line 31. It goes over to the next page, line 7, page 4, line 7. And this is a change where the House version had the public members of the board would serve at the pleasure of the governor. The Senate's version has that the House members can only be removed for cause. And they can be removed at the recommendation of the board or just by the governor himself. Person who is going to be removed can appeal. If you look at the kinds of things that the person may be removed for, it's just for the public at home, that it's for things like for cause would be lack of contribution to the board's work, neglect of duty, incompetence, the inability to serve, poor attendance, and misconduct in office. The second change that we've had is on page 8, lines 11 to 16. This is a new concept for the coastal zone, for the coastal districts to present their enforceable policies. What is new is that they must present a policy that employs the least restrictive means to establish its goals. And in this section, there's a number of items which can be used to determine what least restrictive means are. The changes that the Senate has is that D section, whereas it adds factors such as the economic effects of the proposal, technological feasibility, and then, of course, the general term, any other factors. The Senate version thought that requiring some of these smaller coastal districts to provide an economic analysis like that may be beyond their means, and so that this whole section was put into rather than a shell section, that the district shall do this, that they may do this to provide the flexibility that to tailor each district's needs. The next change, page 10, lines 8 to 12.
Was it lines, which ones?
This is page 10, lines 8 to 12. And this is in the section where if a coastal district provides a plan and it's rejected by the department, they may elevate it to the new board for review, and the board may come back to the send its recommendations back to the department. At that time, the department can consider these options here. As you can see, they can approve the plan in part or in portions. The final one, that number four there, in the House, they had the term that the department could require any other action taken by the coastal district. The Senate version replaces that with language that the department can request additional information from the district as long as they thought that this would aid in approving the plan or part of the plan. The next change is on page 12, lines 6 to 8. This is a subsection D there that prohibits the department from requiring a designated area for a district's developing of their plan. If you look at that, notwithstanding AS 4640030, that's for special districts that would ordinarily have some kind of a boundary designation like that. So it covers all options there. The next change is page 14, lines 9, section 24. In this section, the House, it's a definition section, and the House version had two definitions, one for local knowledge and one for scientific evidence. This CS eliminates that, deletes those two provisions in the House, and the reason being is that in current regulations, the scientific evidence is exactly the same, and the local knowledge would be the same as was in the House thing, except for the one thing that not contradicted by scientific evidence. The next change is on page 16, lines 4 to 7. As you recall, the House version had the new policy board make recommendations to the legislature on the what's called the DEC carve-out to see if clean water, clean air kind of considerations could be considered in the coastal management determinations. And the new section adds on a second report from the coastal policy, and that is just in 4 years, and they're to just do an overview of the whole program and see how it's doing and make recommendations on any improvements that can be made then. Finally, Mr. Chairman, in all places in the Senate version, where in all places in the House version, where it was said that the district board, the coastal policy board, where they referred to the commissioners or their designees or commissioners or their deputies, the Senate version further defines that this commissioner or the deputy commissioner, so that there's no question about who is going to be making these decisions from the departments. And Mr. Chairman, with that, it's the final changes.
I'll go ahead and remove my objection for the adoption of the CS. Is there any other objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we have adopted version H. That is a working document. Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Before we set this bill aside, I would like to thank my staff, Dave Gray, for working on this. There has been some interest in this legislation, and I think it has gone through several drafting work drafts, and I believe what we have here is something that hopefully that both sides, this body and the other body, can agree to, and if not, we'll proceed to the next level. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We have three fiscal notes in your packet, which have all already been adopted by the Operating Budget Conference Committee. One note from the Department of Natural Resources for $6,715,800 to cover the cost of the Alaska Coastal Policy Board and the 34 staff positions. Two fiscal notes from the Department of Environmental Conservation, one for $10,000 in interagency receipts and $5,000 in general funds to cover the commissioners' travel and the costs associated with reporting, and one for the water quality program for $20,000 in general funds for travel and staff costs to attend board meetings. Do we have any questions or comments? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I go through this bill here, Mr. Gray, I was wondering, could you comment on the reason the carve-out that's related to DEC was not included?
Mr. Gray, maybe when you answer that question, it might be helpful if you explain what the carve-out is and give the public some background.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, you recall the DEC carve-out was that nothing in the Department of Environmental Conservation, their permits like that, can be rolled into a coastal zone management program of looking over the permits. That the Department of Environmental Conservation, their permits were, whatever they did, was automatically okay with the coastal zone management program. As a result, there was little attention that the districts could have on those kind of considerations in their own plans or in their own actions with coastal zone management. There's been even the federal government had asked that the state consider reviewing that carve out, and that maybe they could do something different to allow more local district participation in that. It was an issue that the House finally came to the agreement, rather than trying to resolve it, then to ask the board to review that thing and come back and report to the legislature that what kind of modifications it might be done with that program at that time.
Last question, Mr. Chairman. As you look at the frustration that have been voiced to me by many of the people from these coastal communities, is that these plans have been rejected. And I see that on page 10, as you pointed out, lines 8 to 12, the plans are rejected by the department, which is the first level of appeal. What happens if they don't like the outcome of that first level of appeal? Is there another step that they can go to try and get their plans approved so that they're can continue on with what they have as an oversight?
They can go back and appeal to the commissioner himself, to after the board has looked at it and sent recommendations. They can also, there's kind of a procedure where if you'll notice that the Department of Natural Resource member on the board is the deputy commissioner, not the commissioner, whereas the others are commissioners. And that is so that you can have an appeal to the commissioner directly. But after that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. We will now recess to the call of the chair. restricted target times around 3 p.m. We'll keep everybody posted. We are in recess. Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. It's 3:27, Thursday, the 10th of May, 2011. We have the full committee in front of us. We have one bill on the agenda this afternoon, Senate Bill 46, which is a capital budget. And that is the bill that makes appropriations for the FY12 fiscal year. This is the sixth meeting. It's the sixth meeting on this bill. We previously heard it on the February 21st, March 15th, March 16th, March 17th, and April 11th. And the intent today is to adopt a committee substitute and then look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman may have a motion to adopt a committee substitute version S. Sam?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 46 Finance /S as a working document.
Thank you, and I'd like to object for explanation and ask Mr. Baker to come forward, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
The substitute bill you have before you, CS version S, since the last committee substitute, the committee adopted this current CS, adds $107 million, $51 million of federal, $50 million of Alaska Capital Income Fund, and $155 million GF that's offset by a reduction of $150 million in general obligation bond authority for a net of $107 million. The primary changes in the CS, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to hit the highlights and then I can go through some specifics and where it is in the bill, but this CS adds $50 million to the Alaska Housing Finance Corp weatherization program. So the program total is now $100 million, $75 million for low-income weatherization, $25 million for the home rebate program. That's $75 million over the governor's original request, which was $25 million. The CS adds the governor's FY11 supplemental capital items. That's $51.5 million. And that is, you'll find that in sections 13 through 15 of the bill. And that's primarily federal money. There is $1.7 million of general funds. The CS also increases the savings deposits to the CBR by $500 million, which you will find on page 145. So we've increased the FY11 surplus deposit from $200 million to $500 million and increased the FY11 from $300 to $500 and the FY12 from $200 to $500. The committee members should have a series of reports. The first packet of reports compare the last CS that we adopted with the current CS, and that's where you'll see the $107 million of spending I referred to earlier. And you'll see in Report 1A, that's where you'll see the federal money increase, the general fund, $155 million, and then offset by $150 of GO bonds. And then you'll see the $50 million of Alaska Capital Income Fund spending for a net increase of $107 million. The second batch of reports, Report 2A, 2B and 2C, compare this current CS with the governor's request. So you'll see in column 1, GovMN Plus is the governor's amended FY12 capital request, the $1.969 billion. And then column 2, you'll see the governor's supplemental request of $48 million. And then the combination of the two, $2,018 million, and the current CS is column 4, which is 2.795, and the difference there of additional spending is the $778 million I referred to earlier. And what's not in that number are the savings deposits, Mr. Chairman, because those are transfers from the general fund to the CBR, the SBR, and so they don't show up in that spending number. And the third report is the multi-year summary, and that one is handy because it will break down the spending by section of the bill. Column 1 is the Section 1 of the bill, which is what we're referring to as the FY12 capital budget. Column 2 are the energy projects. And I am going to talk a little bit about some structural changes we made to the energy section of the bill. Column 3 is Section 7, 8, and 9, which are the cruise ship funded projects. There are no changes there. Column 4 are the school infrastructure projects. There's no changes there. Column 5 is the language section of the bill, the spending there. Column 6 is the FY11 supplemental. And then you see the total. And there are a few operating items also that are detailed there in the last several columns. If I could, Mr. Chairman, just to walk you through some specific changes. The only changes to Section 1 of the bill, we added two grants to the Department of Fish and Game for $2 million. You'll find the first one on page 56, line 10, and that's $1.75 million for intensive management implementation study. And the second one is on the same page, line 24, wolf, moose, and community harvest study for a total of 2.2. And that has been added to this bill based on an agreement in the Operating Conference Committee. There was money for both of these items. There was FY12 money for both of these items in the conference, in the Senate's version of the operating budget. There's an agreement to concur with the House, which would have removed these two items, and instead to put three-year capital grants for these two items into the Senate's version of the capital budget. So those are really the only kind of new capital projects, if you will, that have been added to the bill. Section 4, which is the energy section, that has received quite a lot of public testimony and review over the last several weeks. Based on some of that testimony and discussions the committee's had since we've introduced the last CS, we have made a couple changes. The principal spending change was the addition of the $50 million in the weatherization program, which is on page 110. And as I mentioned before, that would bump the low-income program to $75 million. There's a little bit of federal in there as well, and then the home rebate program to $25 million. All the other projects and the project amounts in Section 4 have remained the same. But we did make some structural changes. On page 108, line 28, you'll see that we changed that to the appropriation title to energy generation projects, and we changed the intent language as well. If you'll recall, the previous bill had a 50% match requirement and also language for the Energy Authority to look at these appropriations, and if they deemed appropriate, to come back by February 1st of next year with reappropriation language. That language was causing a lot of problems. The legislature has an ability to reappropriate any of these things at their choice. The intent originally, when we put that language, the reappropriation language, in, was to make it clear that we wanted the AEA to have the ability to vet these projects, that some of the project amounts may not be exactly 50%, and that we were trying to make it clear that we were going to expect AEA to vet that, come back, and make recommendations of how to rebalance those appropriations to get the state's investment to a maximum of 50%. They had a lot of concerns about that. There was concern raised whether the reappropriation, that was an intent to have that money stay in the district, or whether that money would go to non-energy projects. And so our attempt to kind of clarify that we were expecting AEA to vet these and to come back with recommendations caused confusion and actually put the other problem with the language is it asks the Energy Authority to use the renewable energy grant criteria program, the statutory criteria of the renewable energy grant program, as guidance in vetting these projects, but at the same time we expected them to apply a 50% match requirement, which the statutory guidelines of that program do not require. So the Energy Authority has testified over the last couple of weeks and in conversations with us that that language complicated things, and for purposes of the bill and the appropriation, it really wasn't accomplishing what we wanted. So the reappropriation language has been removed. The 50% language has been retained, but it is specifically applying to generation projects. The transmission projects, most of which were the RTEC projects, have been removed from this section, and they are now under a separate appropriation on page 107, line 24. And that is a single appropriation with allocations. So instead of having individual appropriations for each of those projects, the Energy Authority will be given a lump sum for the RTEC projects with recommended allocations, which will give them the flexibility to move that money where necessary. And because they are transmission projects, they wouldn't necessarily be restricted to the 50% requirement. The reason that number is higher, previous CS, the RTEC projects, was $71.5 million. The RTEC, which is the Alaska Rail Belt Cooperative Transmission and Electric Company, I believe, they recommended 9 projects. The Homer Electric Association had come in independently to the legislature for an additional project, $25 million, for the Soldotna-Nikiski transmission line in the original CS. That was in a separate section, was not considered part of the RTEC, and we've subsequently found that it really is an RTEC project. It's another transmission line. And so that's been added. So there's 10 projects for RTEC for $96.5 million, and I believe for the energy section, Mr. Chairman, those are the structural changes. If I could refer the committee to the language section. Sorry, on page 129, the current CS has an additional $200 million of savings, if you will, in addition to the deposits to the statutory budget reserve, and that's accomplished in 4 sections of the bill. And in essence, on section 16, what we're doing is we're making $49 million available for previously approved certificates of participation, which is state revenue bonding. $25 million is for the Anchorage Jail, $24 million was for the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, the Food Safety Lab, and the Virology Lab. So in essence, this is borrowing we've done. We asked Department of Revenue to give us a list of the most expensive borrowing the state's doing, and that we basically want to pay off our debt. So this is $49 million represented in Section 16. That shows up as operating spending, because that will make money available that otherwise would have been required in the operating budget going forward to pay down those debts. And you will see that in report number 3, you'll see in column 9, you'll see that $49 million represented there at the bottom. And then on in section 24 of the language, on page, beginning on page 132, at the bottom there, line 29, and the bulk of it is on the top of page 133, you'll see the other $150 million. And what we're doing is we're taking the 2008 transportation general obligation bonds that were approved by the voters, and we are replacing that bonding authority, $150 million, with general funds. And it's our expectation that that amount is, that's the amount of geo bond authority of, for projects that have yet to be bonded. So those bonds have not been sold yet. So instead of using our credit card for those projects, we're going to pay cash for them. And later in the bill, you'll see some corresponding state bond committee contingencies that require the state bond committee to verify those amounts. Where the CS adds a new section 22 beginning on page 131. Line 27, this is a Department of Health and Services. This is $8 million for the LIHEAP program, the Low Income Heating Energy Assistance Program. And this is to have the state shore up what's anticipated to be a cut in federal funding for this program. Subsection A of Section 22 is $3.3 million. Which would be for to replace tribal money that comes in for that program directly to the tribes. And then subsection B is the balance of the $8 million, the 4.6 that would go to the Department of Health and Social Services regular energy assistance program grants. So that's $8 million. That is FY12 operating money. On page 130, we've added a new section 19 C and D, and 19 C is a $30 million appropriation from the general fund to the Alaska Housing Capital Corporation, and you will recall the Alaska Housing Capital Corporation is a savings account set up within Alaska Housing Finance for the purpose of the intended purpose of capital spending. It was set up several years ago. The current balance is estimated to be about $370 million. So this additional $30 million would bring that account balance to $400 million. And the second part of this, on line 14, subsection D, you'll see that it is the intent that after this $30 million is transferred and plussed up, that we plus up that balance to 400, that account be used to fund post-secondary scholarship programs at a later date. The scholarship fund legislation to set up the separate fund has not passed, but this would earmark one of our savings accounts for that purpose. Just a couple more changes, Mr. Chairman, on page 143. Under the section 39 reappropriation of legislative appropriations, what's now subsection B on line 11, there was a little bit of a scope change to the Bristol Bay Drainage Study appropriation from last year. We removed that, so the appropriation stays this for its intended purpose, and we extended the lapse instead of to 2014, which was in the previous CS. That grant would be extended just for 2 years. And then in the last CS, there was an additional $450,000 that was intended for that broader scope study of large mine development in the state. That's been removed, and that balance, that 450 estimated balance, has been added to the, in subsection C, line 21, has been added to the amount that will be reappropriated to the Ledge Council for the basis document management system. And I already mentioned, Mr. Chairman, on page 145 was the changes to the savings deposits, $1 billion of savings. And on page 145, section 49, and continuing on to the next page, on the non-severability language, we made some changes to the non-severability language to there were two issues raised, Mr. Chairman. One was the concern that a third party might come in and delay these appropriations for going into effect if they wanted to challenge this contingency language. And we've tried to address that in subsection 1 there. And then the second concern was that if the governor did choose to veto an item in section 4, the energy section, and the legislature subsequently came back and overrode the veto, making the whole contingency kind of null and void at that point if the override took effect, that we didn't want the override not to basically end the issue. In other words, if the legislature overrode and there had been a court action started or something, that it would basically make the necessity for the court action invalid because the legislature had overridden the vetoes. And I believe that those are the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I'm going to remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Do we have any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee report out CS for Senate Bill 46, Finance Backslash S, with individual recommendations.
We have a motion to move CS for Senate Bill 46, Finance Version S, from committee with individual recommendations. Do we have objections? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill to the next committee referral. We are adjourned.